This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Titleist Golf Balls. Often lauded as the number one ball in golf, Titleist has long been known for their exceptional performance, quality, and innovation. Their identity as a top golf ball brand is well established in their Pro V1 lineup and have continuously grown their supporting cast of quality golf balls to suit every golfer's need. For more information on Titleist Golf Balls, visit www.titleist.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the original Off Course Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is a head-banging Dean DiCrescenzo, wide awake, absolutely cooking on Wednesday night of Masters Week. It's not like he definitely didn't just wake up from a nap or anything like that. What's up, Dean?
Hey, don't be slamming naps. You got to do it. There's so much golf to watch this weekend. Got to be well rested going into it.
I'm going to be totally honest with you. You napped putting your kid down, which I totally respect. Been there before. I napped once I wrapped up work and the par three got lightning shut down, which was super disappointing. But yeah, I'm not knocking naps, dude. I had no idea I was a nap guy until I had a kid.
Yeah, once you have a kid, you really learn to appreciate that nap, which definitely did and still do.
Yeah. So how are you, buddy? What's going on?
Things are good. The golf season is, it's really started here. So the last time we talked, it was teasing us a little bit. We were getting nice weather and then we were getting some snow and sleet and ice, but no, it's been good. The weather is starting to turn. The courses are popping up. The grass is turning green, and above all, it's Masters Week. So it's perfect.
So being a part of THP, we obviously know a lot of people from around the country and I suppose the world, mostly in US and Canada though. And it's pretty fun to have those chats. You don't really realize how lucky you are being in a slightly lower state. So I posted a picture of somewhat green grass here about 3 weeks ago. And our buddy Jeremy, who's up in Michigan, was like, I am so jealous right now of that grass. And I was like, okay. And now it's like really green. So what's your schedule like up there from in terms of like when things actually start to green up and golf is legitimately realistic?
Usually for me, it's right around typically the end of April, like into the beginning of May, then things really start to, you know, the leaves really start to get on the trees. So you can't take those crazy lines on some dog legs anymore. You know, like you say, the grass gets a little greener. It's a little more difficult to start hitting out of the rough because it's not like flat. So you know how the, you know, snow in winter, it just seems to flatten that rough. So the first few rounds out, you're playing and there's no fear of hitting it there. So yeah, usually the end of the month.
So I played last week down in Nashville and they have overseed there. I don't know how much travel golf you play, but with the overseed, it's like this really weird sticky rye type of thing. And you know, you play in like basically deadness for months when you can, and you go in this like sticky, aggressive rough, you hit the ball about halfway the distance you thought you would. You're like, what is going on right now?
And then do you like it when you go down south and yet they have the dormant Bermuda? So you have, you know, the really like bright green fairways and then the rough is just brown. Like you watch some of the Dell Match Play and you can sense that even from down there in Texas, that's what it was like.
Yeah.
It doesn't do it for me.
Well, it's weird because like there are courses who will do the fairway, but there are also courses who will do the rough and leave the fairway dormant. So where I was playing, they had the rye and the rough, the fairways were dormant and firm. But then they had like the first cut of rough, which was dormant and like basically soft. So you just blast through it like you're playing in Florida. And then greenside, it's, you know, sort of hard panties. So you like have every lie is a tight lie. I'm not saying I'm a great golfer. I'm a decent golfer, but it was like,
I'll say great,
emotionally challenging to play that many different lies within like a two hole stretch.
Like it's really got to mess with your head when you're going through that, because you just don't know how the club's going to react or the ball's going to react even. Yeah, it's got to mess with you.
So I blasted the greens were a little firm and sanded, so they weren't exactly sticking. And I blasted like three straight over the green from different lies. Then I got into that overseed. I hit one short. I was like, I can't handle this right now. I don't even know what's going on. It's definitely different because here right now, and I'm assuming it's close to similar where you are. I mean, the conditions aren't great and you're definitely battling some aeration plugs here and there, but at least you know what you're getting, right? At least if you got a halfway decent lie, you know what's coming.
Yeah, pretty much. You know what's coming. And my first run of the year was last Friday, and I was thinking of you and I forgot to send it to you. I will send it to you after so you can verify it. My last drive of the day, absolutely, you know, smoked it for a coming off of, you know, months long rest, and it's right in the middle of the fairway and it's in like a divot that's like 2 inches deep. I'm like, how is that possible that I'm found like one massive divot that some schlub probably took back in August and still hasn't healed yet.
Oh my God. Well, I don't understand. So I've obviously taken a pretty aggressive stance against fairway divots. I firmly believe that there should be a reasonable rule and put in place to where you don't actually have to play out of them. I don't know why that's created this sort of presence that anytime someone gets into one, they tag me. I'm like, oh, I'm having a Canadan sort of day. I'm like, hold on a second. Why does it have to be me? Everyone's upset about it. They just don't talk about it as much as I do. So yeah, I actually, is your posting season current now? Are you in it?
No, I believe our posting season starts the 15th, which is, you know, it's coming up quick. So you better got to get these winter swings off soon.
Yeah. So the day before ours started, which Jin changed it up, it's a little bit different now. The day before it started, they punched the green. So it went from like perfect roll to terrible roll. And they're like, oh, by the way, you can start posting your scores now, which are inherently worse, right? Based on that. But yeah, I'm sort of on strike with Jin because I'm still soft cap from last year. So my perspective is unless I'm playing in a tournament or playing against someone, there is a current Dan rule where I don't care and I roll it out of a divot. So if I'm in it, which I likely will be, that 100% is getting rolled. Now, the good thing is I'm not scoring well enough to be like improving my handicap. So it's not really harming anyone. I mean, I'm already getting soft capped anyway. So to my perspective, Dean, what difference does it make?
It sounds like you're going for that vanity cap. I don't know. That's all I got from that.
Yeah. I believe I'm being forced into a vanity cap and I'm aggressively tracking it at this point. I did have a weird thing that happened. My buddy started a handicap back up. We're going to play a little bit more golf this year where he actually needs one. And he had played some high school golf. And the last time he had actually used gin was 2013. And he's a younger guy. Good for him for being in high school in 2013. So that's great. But it actually was still on his handicap. So he comes into the year as like a 1.2. And he's like, what the? I can't. First round out, he shoots like a 79 or an 81. He's like, hold on a second. And I'm like, you need to get that removed. So it's been like a 2-week process. I'm pretty sure he's had to fill out a bunch of forms, probably bribing someone's dad to, you know, make the right call to his buddy on the pleated system. it's ridiculous how hard it is to get away from it. And I just flat out told him, like, look, I think you're a good player. I don't think you want to anchor in at 1.2. I think that's a really bad play because as soon as you hit 3 or 4.2, if you keep climbing, you're immediately soft capped. And that's brutal, man. So I wasn't even planning to talk about that. But yeah, here we are just griping gin all over the place.
I stopped using gin for I stopped being a member at a course. So I didn't do my gin for that year. And that was the year that Jen and I went to Scotland and went to St. Andrews. And they tell you you need an official handicap to play. So
what, really? Why?
Yeah. You need to show the handicap card, or at least on your phone, the mobile card.
Can you do like a screenshot?
Yeah, you can do that. You could like, so for me, I was like, oh man, I'm panicking. I'm like, well, what if I get to play? I need to make sure I have a handicap. So I remember upping my membership Now, this was in October, and the posting season ends November 1st. So I upped my membership, paid for, I think it was like $50 for the year to be able to use it for 2 weeks. And then lo and behold, I didn't end up playing golf over there anyway. But I was like importing all of these scores. Like, yeah, I found this scorecard. We'll count that. We'll count that one. And I did the same for Jen, because I'm like, well, if she's going to get a chance to play, she's going to want to play. So we need to do that. So yeah, $100 for two handicap cards that lasted all of 2 weeks.
Oh man, I had no idea they forced that handicap. Is that like so they know what they're putting out there? Like, is there a window of player type? Do they just pull from the pool? Like, oh, this dude's a 10. We'll put him out third. This dude's a 25. We'll make sure that he's playing with some sticks so they keep moving along.
I just remember waiting in the line overnight, and then when you check in with the lady who ran the pro shop, one of the questions is, can I see your handicap card? So everybody who was there is just pulling out their card or opening their phone to the app and whatnot and showing it. So
is that like a code word for give me $20? Let me see your handicap card.
Yeah. I think they call it pounds over there. Yeah.
I would imagine they're perfectly fine receiving US monies, but yeah, I don't know. I've never heard that before. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was fun. And on a side note, I'm reading a book right now about an American who was a caddy at St. Andrews. And he talks about a whole year's worth of experiences there. And I just read a part today where he's talking about how, you know, he went to the U.S. and came back, and he's meeting all these golfers, and he's like, oh, man, I haven't been a caddy here for a few weeks. I'm hoping that, you know, they don't put me with someone who's a two. So he looks on the starter sheet, and they're like, 19 handicap. He's like, yes, I can get this guy around this course with no problem.
Yeah. I made the comment earlier about higher caps playing with sticks. Like, I thought you were going to bite on that, but you know, it is pretty funny how you can align a little bit better with different people. But then when you get lower, and these dudes who like, oh, I'm a scratch golfer, so when I go to St. Andrews, I'm going to take it super seriously because I'm totally going to break par there, and they get kicked off the course or taking too long in a putt, you know, because that misnomer that, you know, golfers who have higher handicaps are slower players, which is obviously not entirely true.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you see people who are new to the game, but they can still get around the course. Meanwhile, you know, the guy who's really out there grinding over a 3 foot putt is probably the guy, you know, who's under a 5 handicap. It's really fun to watch.
And in their defense, I believe on that side of the pond, you putt everything out. So don't you dare pick up a 3 footer.
Yeah, you're not raking putts at the old course.
Yeah. Well, you know, so you're playing golf a little bit, but you haven't played a ton yet. I've put a couple rounds up. Are you scheduled to play anything soon?
Yeah, I've got a week vacation coming up, so I'm going to get a few rounds in. My next round is either going to be Saturday, depending on the weather, or at least Monday. And then I'm looking forward to it. I've got a couple new clubs that are going to go in the bag. I've got some new clubs that went in the bag for my previous round. So it's the weather's going to be nice, and see what these things can do for me.
You got a week off. You coming to see me?
If you're going to be in Boston, I'll stop by and see you. I'm going to go to Boston for a few days. But yeah, I mean, it's a little farther from Columbus that way, but
yeah, it's a little backwards. So what's new in the bag? You kind of gave me an idea that you got a new putter in there.
Yeah, I have switched, at least early on, to the Sax Parente Series 99 putter. I am giving the ultra low balance point belief a real shot here, because we've talked about my putting woes in the past. So this is it's a very interesting setup. You know, the balance point is within 5 inches from the ground, which is super low when you look at all of these other putters. It's got a crazy light shaft and a super light grip. So all the weight is down below, so the putter head really just kind of flows for you. So I've been rolling it indoors over the winter, and that's what was in the bag the first time out.
Not bad. The Gretzky Special, the 99.
The 99. It looks really cool. The logo of the 99 looks cool. I love it.
Yeah. It's sort of a basic, like, familiar shape, you know. It's not – I really appreciated, celebrated Sax doing sort of their own thing with styles, and, you know, their, their perspective on what a style would be, and to kind of draw that back a little bit to a familiar shape and you know, a beautiful black finish. I think yours is black, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a gunmetal.
Yeah,
so it's really nice.
Yeah. So the balance point, is that like is that more like putting like our friend Michael, who's a little bit shorter than I am, versus me, or is that is there like a significant change there to you?
It's got a really low center of gravity, yeah. Like Michael. But I mean, and Mizuno actually has a product out right now that's very similar with that low balance point. I'd be curious to put them side to side and see how close they are, because I think Saks has a pretty good patent on how low other competitors' balance points can get to where theirs are.
Interesting.
Which is interesting to, and then to see, you know, a bigger company or a well-known company like Mizuno come out with a product that's along that lines, it'd be interesting to kind of compare them.
Yeah. So do you feel like, because you've been pretty well documented at this point as having putter woes, do you feel like you've got something that can stick around in the bag? Is it showing signs of value for the Dean?
It's showing signs of value so far. It's only been one round, but you know, my first time out, I thought my speed control was really good. I did have one 3-putt, which was okay. Everything else though, it was nice. I really like it is an answer shape style putter. I have used one of those for the past 2 or 3 years, so I'm comfortable with that. And yeah, we'll see. I like the feel of it. I like the look of it, and it's going to get a much bigger run next week.
I have a counter question that's not technically related, but it also is. Is your wife Jen, does she still play a fair bit, or is she kind of moved on?
She likes to play. She's planning on playing next week. She hasn't played much the last 2 years. I think she was a sub for a league last year, played probably 3 or 4 times out and maybe one time with me. But I mean, we used to have a standing Friday night date and then Saturday morning tea time at 6 a.m. Just go out, play, and then be at breakfast by like 10 o'clock, which was nice.
Yeah.
You know, with a kid, those days are gone for a while. But yeah, she still loves to play.
how is the gap between you two? I'm assuming it's different tees, but is she ever giving you a run for your money?
She has.
Yeah,
she has. She had, and she'll tell the story differently someday, I'm sure.
Well, let's get her in here. Let's go.
She had a putt for a straight up day when we used to belong to a course. She had a putt on the 18th it was either to beat me or to tie me. And I think hers was to beat me. And then I drained like a 7 or 8 curler to, you know, after she missed.
While she was putting, were you like jingling stuff in your
pocket? Oh my God. I was so nervous.
Got some vuvuzelas in the background.
And what made it worse was I had left my rangefinder on the 17th tee box, which is a par 3. So I, and the 18th is a par 5, and I noticed it around the green. So I was like, crap, I got to go get it before somebody takes it. So I drove all the way down. I ended up flipping the golf cart over. Cause on 17, it's, you have to go through a valley. So it was like a real twisted cart path, and you're apparently not supposed to drive the way I did. And it kind of tipped over, but I got that, you know, put back up straight, and I was okay. So I got it. And I came back and my heart is like pumping and I'm sweating, and she could tell that something happened to me. And lo and behold, she'd been standing there for 15 minutes, probably staring at this putt, knowing what had to go on.
You iced her.
I completely iced her on it.
Well, she's like, what's with those grass stains? You're like, it's nothing. It's fun.
Yeah. That was one of those days that she played really, really well. I think she carded like an 87 that day.
Okay.
So she used to be able to put up like really good scores, shoot between, you know, high 80s and mid 90s for consistently. So she had a day where she was playing really well, and I had a day where I was finding trouble. We'll put it that way.
Not exactly playing at an elevated state, right?
No, yeah. But we will do our friend Pete and his girlfriend, we will play a match of me and Pete versus Jen and Alyssa. And usually Pete and I will stop keeping score by like the 13th hole. Because at that point, we usually don't stand a chance.
So when Jen, your wife, sees a product, because you review quite a bit for THP, and that includes on-course testing, when she sees a product come through the house and she's like, oh, I think I like that, do you ever play for it? Is there ever a point where she stakes claim to it and requires you beating her to keep it?
So she does look at things and she's like, oh, I can have that. So Cleveland released a RTX full face black finish wedge that got announced earlier this year. And I have been playing the full face raw finish. So she comes down and looks at it and she's like, oh, that's pretty sweet. Like, yeah, it is, right? She goes, we can reshaft that and put that in my bag, right? I'm like, we can cut it down. That's fine. Lo and behold, it's still sitting over here and she hasn't mentioned it since.
Okay.
But yeah, she definitely takes an interest in it. And there's, you know, people talk about on the forum about how their spouse doesn't necessarily like golf or understand it, or maybe isn't supportive of them spending the time and money to go play. Mine's the opposite. Like, golf boxes come and my wife's like, when are we going to hit it?
Yeah.
She doesn't, awesome. She doesn't care. Tonight I had to glue a shaft on an adapter for a Tour Edge driver, and she was down watching the entire process and was all into it. So it's, I'm lucky. I have a wife who really likes the game, and she kind of likes the equipment side of it. So when something happens, she's good.
That's awesome. And yeah, Tour just got some cool stuff coming. What is it, the driver, the new like 722?
Yeah, so this is the E722.
Okay.
So James did a really bang up job on the C722 driver. And Tour Edge split it last year. The C721 was really impressive for them. Got a lot of really good reviews and really good buzz. Probably for the first time that Tour Edge has really been like up at the top when you're talking about what drivers people need to hit consistently. But what they found was they needed a driver head that could be a little more forgiving, offer a touch more spin, and they didn't need to have movable weight. So the C722 has a weight that can go from the back to the front. So you can drop in your spin or your launch angle, or even get an uptick in ball speed. And the E722 that I'm going to have is going to be their max MOI, their forgiving beast. So that's up my alley. I'm pretty excited. I really like the shape of it, and we'll see how it does.
You got to shaft it up. What's in there?
I do. So I have a Patterson, was it Kinetics launch light? That's also in for review. Probably not something I would gravitate towards, but it's a beautiful light blue color. So that
you think that until you hit it and you're like, oh,
it's
okay,
a Canada special.
That is what I use.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That's, you've gone through it, Dan, where you've had stuff come in and you're like, all right, that's probably not what, you know, I would think of, but then you hit it and you're like, okay, yeah. It works for me. And it's, as a reviewer, it's something that's always difficult. It's not something that what's going to suit my game.
Right.
But what does it actually do? So I'm excited to put those in. I've heard them on the podcast and they've been plenty of reviews on THP. This will be my first time with one of those shafts. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Kinetics is pretty wild, man. And, you know, I have, I actually just put their Zero Torque into my Toulon Long Neck Austin putter, which has been a pretty wild ride. Have you experienced any of those low torque shafts for a putter yet?
You know, I haven't messed with any of the putter shafts. When they first came out, when Stability was first making the waves, I kind of looked at it as if it might be a little bit of like snake oil.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're still out there. Obviously, Odyssey is putting a lot of tech into their putter shafts. UST's coming out with a different putter shaft.
The All In, I think it's called. Yeah.
LA Golf's got a putter shaft, and that seems to be all over tour as well. And then obviously the Zero Torque. So I think it is something that I should probably experiment with a little bit in 2022.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's like, we had Jason on talking about it, and I'm going to have to get him on again because I need to grill him on this. It's sort of baffling me, but the understanding of just pure connectivity between the hands and the head is kind of a big deal, right? And you know, we've sort of always accepted what's in our putter shafts and not, or in our putters from a shaft perspective, and never really put too much thought into it. But you know, putting this thing in there, it's like, it's different. And to the point where I've actually had numerous people use it, and people who had tried that same putter a week previous without it in there were like, whoa, this is different. And I think that's fair. It is really different. I'm sure there's some pretty interesting scientific stuff out there talking about how much gyration and sound and acoustics and vibration and all that stuff we don't need to understand as golfers. We can just simply accept changes it. But yeah, I mean, it is 100% audible, and in the hands, it's wild. I'm still trying to figure it out for myself. I recently jumped onto the Titleist website to see what kind of golf ball would suit my game the best. I found their quick guide extremely helpful as a starting point, as it showcases spin and launch characteristics of their Pro V1 and ABX offerings. But I decided to take it a step further and actually did their super easy to use golf ball selector tool. After answering a handful of questions that reflected my game and what I want from my golf ball, I was fitted the AVX with an alternative in the Pro V1. That's perfect for me, considering I'm always chasing a slightly lower ball flight with reduced iron spin. Give the fitting tool a look for yourself over on Titleist.com to see what kind of golf ball best suits your game.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to trying, you know. Back to the Sacks, it's a really light graphite shaft, so it's a much different feel. I think the Sacks one, it's something like 33 grams for 35 inches, or maybe I have that the opposite. So
the grips are super light on those
the
two,
grips,
right?
The like grips are grams? Super light. So I don't know how much different that would feel versus some of these other ones, but you know, the putter shafts, man, it's who would have thought that's where a lot of this shaft tech would go, would be looking at the putter shafts. Cause all for a while, the options were steel, or what was it? The UST, was it the frequency? Is that what they called
like,
that
it
one?
It was like True Temper and True Temper, right? That was like the option for your putter shaft.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's would like you what like they the had in steel there and also what or they had in steel? There. Yeah. it's fun though. Like, you know, I feel like component building and all that stuff, the putter process is actually really, really easy to get into, right? Because you're not having to worry too much about swing weighting. It's not like anything crazy. Well, obviously, a lot of these heads have weights that are in them. And that's the kind of product where you can lay down some strips of lead tape if you really need to. So like compared to swing weighting an iron shaft, it's nothing crazy. You do it for feel. And once you get to a point where you're like, this is the weight I think my hands need, then you're in good shape. So it seems to me like it makes a lot of sense. The next thing we know, there's going to be ferrules for putter shafts, and then people are really going to get upset.
And then you'll get some of the really wild ones in the golf world. It's just going to go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I don't know. I'm excited to keep using it. It's fascinating. And you know, it's one of those things where I'm pretty invested in the Toulon putter right now. I'm having a lot of fun seeing the changes they've made over there at, Odyssey and Toulon. But the idea that I can change that whole experience with just a shaft is sort of baffling to me. I'm excited about it. Even though eventually, you know, I'm just going to go back to my traditional eyeline grip, which is, you know, whatever.
the only guy in America who has like 17 boxes of those grips right now.
Yeah. I'm running a little low. So if anyone knows of a box sitting in a corner, they feel like give me a good deal on that's eyelines. Yeah, for sure. We're 27 minutes in. We haven't talked about the big deal this week. It's kind of fun that we've had, you know, outside conversation, but honestly, it's Wednesday night. It's Masters week, Dean. And I know that it means a lot to you. It's certainly, it's a big week in my house too, watching these tournaments. Are you geared up and ready to go for this week?
I'm so excited. I mean, we talked in the fall about how geeked up I get for the Ryder Cup. The Masters is hands down my favorite. I love it because, you know, you sit around all winter now the last major is what, in July. So you've got a long wait. So just all the anticipation of coming up to Augusta, and that place is always looking absolutely perfect. You get excited because it's kind of like, all right, major season is now here. Now, I still don't like the PGA in May, but I digress. It's major season now. I mean, now the tournaments, you know, you could go and casually watch the Arnold Palmer or the match play if you want, or the Genesis. But the Masters, now it's one of those where I'm like, you know what? My phone goes on silent and I'm there. I'm watching it. I am so tuned into the tournament. I love it.
So I have a sort of weird question before we really dig into this one. The Masters was held in the fall recently, which was weird. And then we had the privilege of watching it again only a few short months later, based on the things that, you know, unavoidable things that happen in this world. Ignoring the part where the Masters sort of unlocks the year of golf for a lot of us, and ignoring the part where everything's in bloom and perfect at that time, did you like the idea of the Masters being so late in the year, or do you love that it's leading the charge?
Yeah, you know what? I like that it's leading the charge, but I did enjoy seeing it in it was November, that 2020 Masters. It was different. And I'll tell you what, that course looked really nice with like a little bit of, you know, the leaves changing and stuff like
that.
It was very different. And you could tell the course played differently too. It was a lot softer than what these guys are going to face this week, even with, you know, some rain that came in yesterday and today. So would I like to see a major tournament that late in the season? I don't know. I would like to put the PGA back in August. That's what I would like.
Okay.
I don't think I need to see something that late, but that was really cool because it was unique because it's something we'll probably never see again. We saw the US Open in September, and we saw the Masters in November. That was really unique. And outside of the terrible circumstances that made that happen, you know, you sit back and you look at it and you're like, wow, that was it was different. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. So I played a course last week down in Kentucky called Belterra. It's a casino and resort. Super nice course. I'm surprised I haven't played it yet, as it really suited my eye. Shout out to our buddy down there, Jabby, for letting me join him on an absolutely miserable day. But it made me realize as we traversed the course, it was like all the trees are pre-growth. You know, so there's nothing on them. It just sort of looked like barren. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it made me realize if I come back to this exact spot in, let's say, August, the leaves on the trees alone are going to make this look like a totally different golf course. And that's such a fascinating thing because you build a perspective, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like if I go there again in, what is it, 4 months, 5 months, it's going to look like a totally different place. Just like if I go there in the fall, it's going to be, you know, beautiful with all the leaves changing. And we got a taste of that with the Masters. But to me, it's like there's one version of the Masters, and that's when everything is just right perfect.
Yes. Yeah. That's I prefer my April Masters to the fall Masters. But it was like I said, it was cool. I liked what they did. I loved that they still had the tournament because they could have easily gone, you know, the way of the Open Championship and just said, yeah, we're good.
We're not good, by the way. We're not good. We need it.
We need it. Yeah, we need it. We crave it.
Yeah. So, 2022 Masters is upon us. Obviously, for us, we don't have the first round to say who's looking good early, but we do have a surprise participant in Tiger, which is super exciting. Are you pumped to see the big cat come back?
I am so pumped to see him back. I'm very excited. There was definitely a time last year where I didn't think we'd ever see him playing golf again, let alone.
Well, yeah, common sense, you know, would tell you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you get the reports that say we're lucky to save the limb. It's like, okay, I get you.
We get you. You're bad. And
yeah,
it really wasn't good. And everything that he's talking about now, it sounds like it was probably worse than we all were led on to believe. It's awesome to see him out on the course. And I love hearing the reports about how well he's hitting it.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the hoopla from last week, people tracking his flight, you know, Tiger's going to Augusta. He's going to give it a shot. You know, that just shows you how much of a stranglehold that guy has on the needle of golf. I mean, they always talk about it, you know, people move the needle. He is the needle. And that really just shows it, because what got people more excited for the Masters the week before the tournament than a guy hopping on a plane and maybe playing a practice round? We didn't even know that that's what he was going to be doing. And the golf world exploded with that news.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbeknownst to however many percentage of people, there was actually a tournament last week and a new member joining Augusta this week because of it. But, you know, shout out to JJ. That's what an accomplishment there. What a crazy ride that has to be to go from I'm sitting out next week to I'm going to figure all this out as I go.
Honey, but we have to change the plans. We're going to Augusta.
Yeah. So it was crazy to think, you know, all this buildup, and then you have, oh, he's playing practice rounds with JT and Charlie, and that's great. And now there's FootJoy Gate on the range and you know, all this stuff. That doesn't happen for any other golfer who shows up at Augusta. And I tried to have this conversation with someone talking about the differences between him and Phil. And obviously the situation surrounding Phil is unfortunate from either side of the fence. I mean, obviously it's an unbelievable career that's in a current hiccup, and who knows where it goes from there. But, you know, Phil saying he's going to show up versus Tiger, it's a different story. It's a different conversation. It's a different level of excitement. I posted a couple of days ago a picture of Tiger's Monday practice round, and it was stacked like it was a Sunday final pairing on the tee box. There's no other guy who will ever do this.
No, there was one today of him on the 18th tee box, similar to the one Monday. And there were people were 10 rows deep and lined all the way down the tee box on 18, which is a really long walk till you get to that shoot. And it's a practice round. This is today, Wednesday, the day we're recording it. So, and at that point, usually people are trying to get down to the par three course to get good spots, to get close to people. No, they were out there. They're watching Tiger Woods because they don't know. They didn't know if they were going to see that again. And they're going to watch this guy go out. And I'll tell you what, it's a long shot, man. I want to see him win so bad.
Oh my goodness.
I want to see it.
I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of speculation, right? Like, will he make the cut? I saw a thread come up, like, will he beat this random golfer who's probably never going to play there again? Like, some of this stuff is just ridiculous. But on the other side of the fence, it's like, you know, Tiger is in his element at Augusta. It sounds like, based on what Couples was saying, the power's there. So he has control over his swing enough to do that. And he's throwing darts. So there's nothing that says he can't compete there. He knows that place like the back of his hand. I mean, it's all primed for him to be the Tiger of old if he really wants to be.
Man, it would really be something to see him near the top of the leaderboard on Sunday. Just the presence of that name on those classic white scoreboards. You look up and you see whoever you want to see up there, but then you see Woods right there making a charge. Whether he takes home another jacket or not, who knows? But I mean, that would be it would have to be the greatest comeback in golf history.
So here, let me do this, since I'm going to put you on the spot. Since when we actually publish this, the first round will be over. What do you think the first 18 looks like for Tiger? 40, 30.
If he does that, he wins. Guaranteed. Yeah. Because the only other time he's done that, he won. So
yeah,
I bet you Tiger would, I'm going to write him down for a 71, one under 71 for the first round. I think we see some really good stuff. I think we see a little bit of rust. The thing that I'll be curious to see is what we've always kind of wondered about him, how his swing and tempo looks so good on the practice range. And then the walk to the first tee, all of a sudden, you know, it gets a little bit off. How geeked up will he be to get onto that first tee? And will he be able to keep that swing that we've seen the last few days under control? I think not being in that environment for well over a year, I think he's going to have some other feelings going through him that he probably doesn't normally have. But I do think he's still that guy that can turn a 75 into a 72. And I think that's kind of what we're going to see day one. I think he's probably going to have, some iron shots that might not look great, some drives that won't be award winning. but he'll make a couple putts, and I think he'll sneak in at one under for the first round.
Okay. Non-par five guaranteed birdie hole for Tiger. Which one is it?
Oh, man. Non-par five. Well, it's definitely not going to be number five. That's like a nemesis hole. I don't think he birdies one right out the gate. You'd have to say three. You know, three is short, probably his best look at the a birdie non-par five. Outside of that, you know what? I'm going to say Tiger Woods will birdie. Let's see, where would the flag be there? I'm going to say he'll birdie number nine on day one.
Okay, I like that. Committed number nine.
I'm going to commit to number nine.
We're going
to
see how much of a guru you are come once this is published. You know, it's cool, though. I'm hoping that he takes a look at this, because there's no question in my mind his ability to turn it on and to shut everything off and to be almost robotic is unparalleled, for good or for bad. You know, whatever. Yep. That was a career for a long time of Tiger. And I'm wondering how much of this madness that's gone on, the idea of possibly not playing again and now being able to compete, I'm wondering if he can finally get to that point where golf just becomes fun and he knows he's so skilled that he can actually do well while doing that and not having to like shut everything off. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the idea, because if Tiger goes out there with mental momentum, you know what I mean? Like, I'm here to just put on a show and have a great time. I feel like that's a really dangerous Tiger. As much as like the cutthroat Tiger was, I feel like this could be a whole different version of like, he can just go and take whatever tournament he wants because he's Tiger friggin' Woods, right?
Yeah. How many times has Tiger teed off playing with house money, like nothing to lose? Yes, so, I mean, if he goes out and shoots 75-75 and misses the cut by four or five shots, Do we care? Do we get really upset about it? No.
He's already proven more than anyone anticipated, right?
Right.
I mean, but the odds 6 months ago weren't will Tiger win the Masters, it's will Tiger play in the Masters, right? So we're already exceeding expectations.
Yeah. So it's to see him maybe be able to go out there and freewheel a little bit, like you say, that could be dangerous. And you know, there's not a better course on the world that he knows as well as this one. That he could go out and just get those old feels back.
I love it. Oh man, I'm so pumped that he's back. We got to talk about the rest of the field though, man. Like who do you think Tiger not considering, since we're all picking him to win, who, especially Michael, who do you like?
So my pick, in the THP magazine or newsletter that just came out was Colin Morikawa. I love his iron game. What's not to like about that? I think he's really improved his putting this year as opposed to years past. And now he's had two looks at this golf course. Now, granted, one was in November, so it played differently. But I really like what he brings to the table when you're looking at Augusta. And then listening to his press conference earlier in the week, he talked about he just needs to stay within himself, because he would stand up on these tees in previous years and be like, oh, man, I have to hit a draw here. And now he's talking about, you know what? I can hit my stock shot. I know my stock shot will play here. All right. So it might not suit what the hole is telling me to do, but it's going to work. So I'm just going to go out there and do it. And I think we've seen some players that have been, you know, near the top of the world rankings, Martin Keimer, talk about him, you know, try to really change their game for this golf course. And it was a disaster for him.
Yeah.
It was a disaster. So to hear him be able to stand up there and be like, look, all right, I know that the draw is what I want to hit here at 10, but guess what? I could hit my stock shot, my little fade out there. It's still going to catch the slope. It's still going to get me down there and I'll be in position. So I really like what he brings to the table. There's a lot of guys though, Dan, that you look at that can go out and win this tournament. It's really fun. I'm ignoring all of them because Tiger's back. So,
well, let's think about it really quickly. I mean, Hideki, short of a little bit of a stressed neck, I mean, he's coming with pure momentum. He's got an opportunity to go back to back, which is always a big story. I mean, Srixon alone has a gaggle of dudes who are just like ready to compete, which is pretty wild. Like, heck of a year for them to start. Then you look at guys who, you know, are capable. Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm. I mean, they're Shoffley is still waiting to jump back up into the in the big win column. There's like there's so many guys who are just ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean Scotty Scheffler, he's won Scheffler. Three times, and people like don't even mention his name right now.
Yeah,
it's so funny because you know he's playing the best golf of anybody. So you could look at him, you could look at John Rahm. You know, obviously, I know you're pulling for Rory because you want to see that career grand slam.
I took a flyer. I need to talk about this because I need to sort of validate the insanity of that pick. I did it on a whim. I would pick Rory any other year just because I'm thrilled at the idea of guys wrapping up the slam. And I say the same thing about Phil winning a US Open. I've never really been one to root for Phil over others, but I don't mind seeing him mm-hmm. win. I'd love to see him win the US Open to get the slam for his career. That to me is a big, big thing. I know Rory's had a little bit of an up and down year so far, but I also know he's kind of an awesome golfer and he has unbelievable levels of power and control off the tee when he's playing well. So if he can sort that out, there's a lot of rain right now, which means there could be quite a bit of softness towards the course, which obviously supports his throwing darts mentality and picking spots. But if I'm not picking for heart, man, how can you not root for a guy like Justin Thomas right now? He's showing signs of awesome play. There are little things each week that he says he needs to work on. For a guy with his caliber, I mean, you're basically waiting for him to put it all together, right?
And you know, you watch Justin Thomas at the Players Championship, and he played in some wicked wins.
Yeah,
and you watched his round, and yeah, he didn't win the tournament, but you watched his, you know, the end of his first round and the beginning of his second round, which was on Saturday. That tournament was all messed up with rain.
Yeah, I loved it.
But what he showed was how good of a ball striker he is. How he could play the ball, hit a low draw, he could hit a high fade, he could hit it into the wind, he could ride the wind. That's the kind of stuff where you get it to a course here. You know, really ball strikers do well. Iron players that can move the ball both ways do well here, and I think it does suit up for him.
Maybe one of the best rounds of the year. And then you have guys like Brooks Koepka, who you're waiting to break out. You have guys like Patrick Cantlay or Patrick Reed, for that matter. I mean, all these guys we're so stacked with talent. We're just waiting for that guy to break through. I mean, I'm over here sitting here watching, was it Kevin Na and Mackenzie Hughes and Mike Weir all tie for the lead at the par three. I still want to see that curse get broken. Now, I'm not putting all my chips in Mikey Weir's basket, but you know, there are a couple guys who are capable, you know?
Yeah. It's and a then big field. You know, the Lou Eustason, he's Mr. Major runner up. He's still around. He's in that group with Tiger on day one and two. So that'll be fun to see. A guy that I'm going to be curious, and I think it's his first time, and I should know that off the top of my head. How about Sam Burns?
Yeah.
Boy, has he had such a good run here lately. He comes in, he's what, 11th or 12th in the world. You know, nobody's talking about him, and it's his, if it is his first time, there's only been two people ever to do that. You know, the very first Masters and then Fuzzy Zeller, right, was the second one to do it.
It's crowded. Let's call it that. It's a crowded field with a bunch of guys who are either playing well or can play well. On a course that could possibly be a lot more friendly than the design or the architecture would want it to be. We are primed for a monster tournament, and I'm pumped. So I'm going to give you a chance now, since I've sort of countered on my Rory and said, if I didn't use my, what do I want? Who do I think? I'm taking JT as my secondary pick as like, I think this could legitimately happen, especially when Rory starts out with like 76, you know. So if you have a secondary option that you can go for the win, who's it gonna be?
A secondary option. Oh god, there's so many.
I know.
It really is. You know, I
say
really
Tiger.
I'm not gonna say Tiger. I that's the heart pick.
Yeah,
I'm gonna let you know, if Tiger wins on Sunday afternoon, I'll be sitting there bawling like a baby. I really will be. I'll be so excited over that. Man, all right. I will I've been looking at Koepka. I've been thinking he's a little bit under the radar. But you know what? I'm going to go with the guy who beat him at match play. I'm going to go with DJ. I feel like he missed the cut last year. He had been playing really well at the Masters prior to his win. He got that big win with the record setting 20 under par. And I feel like this season has been slow goings for him.
Yes.
But he looked really good at match play. And I think he's there. He's ready. I think nobody's really mentioning him as much because of the rust that's been there this year. And the fact that, you know, there's Scheffler and Rahm and Hovland and Cantlay. And like you say, there's a whole slew of amazing golfers at this tournament. So I think if I was to go with a second guy, I'm going to pick Dustin Johnson because I don't think missing the cut settled too well with him.
So you're saying you rented a ranch this week, not a two-story?
Yeah, he is. There's no steps. What he did was he still got a two-story, but he's got either a fireman pole or a slide that he goes down. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't we all, right? Well, I'm pumped to watch, man. It's, you know, this is a big, I've always said this about Ohio. Maybe it's different from New York, but it just feels like the Masters opens the door to the rest of the year. I mean, you're chasing golf. You play when you can up until Masters weekend. Once that's done and through and the champion's crowned, at this point, your expectation is now I'm going to play every weekend. The weather is going to cooperate. So I'm excited that it's here. I'm not in a hurry for it to wrap up, but I'm pumped that we get to digest this. I know Cal, my son's growing up a little bit, so I'm going to make him watch a bunch. He won't be mad. And then maybe we'll hit the range. You know, who knows? Maybe someone I don't like is leading on Sunday. We're going to kick over to the range for a little bit of practice.
Yeah. If there's a guy out there, Dan, that you think maybe not going to have a good week, the Masters, who's it going to be?
That's mean.
Yeah.
We're throwing shade on the pod.
I'm curious. I've got two names in mind that I think you might say. And I'm curious if you say either one of them.
Who do I think is not going to have a good week?
Yeah. Who would you think is not going to have a good week here?
Well, I don't think he's going to have a bad week, but I'm going to tell you right now, I really struggle to understand how Scheffler slides his back foot out every time and doesn't like hook it into the trees. Cause when I do that,
I'm in awe of that move.
Yeah. I'm baffled by it. The fact that he makes decent contact while doing that is a pure thrill. The guy I'm super interested about right now is Jordan Spieth.
That's one of the two.
Yeah. Because he's transitioning his golf swing right now, so far as I know, and he's been really heavily criticized by it. So based on what I've been reading, I haven't followed the swing. I've seen a couple of videos and he's always had kind of a weird like takeaway. Like I'm trying to do this in my swing and not really doing it. So I think he actually started to do that in his swing and it's sort of stressful. So I'm curious to know with the knowledge he's got, how he manages Augusta because he's sort of doing it in a different way. So it's like playing it for the first time, you know?
Yeah, he's a guy that and that was one of the ones that I was thinking of. I'm curious. I don't want to say he's going to have a bad week, but he's a guy that I'm very curious as to how he does. I'm not overly excited to watch him play because the swing just right now, you know, it gives me a little bit of the heebie-jeebies, technical term. But I'm curious because he has played extremely well at Augusta. He knows the course well. Obviously, he's won. He's had a pretty bad collapse as well. Yeah. He had a Sunday finish a few years ago where he made a really big charge to get within one, I think, of the lead. So he's a guy that obviously has some good and bad history there, but he's going through some swing changes. It's going to be interesting to see how he does.
You know, and it's funny to think about Spieth because Augusta is a place where an electric putter can be the most exciting thing to watch, right? And
yeah,
he said he's not super excited with the way he's putting right now, which is interesting. Because he's been such a strong putter, especially at a place like Augusta where you're rarely within 5 or 10 feet. And anything outside of that is kind of his range. So, you know, I think seeing him succeed there is a thrill for me watching those putts fall. I mean, I say this every week. I don't mind minus 30 winning a golf tournament because I can't do that. I want to see what I can't do, you know, and if he gets hot with the putter, If he gets hot with the putter and just gets the shots on the green and makes it work from there, that'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun when he gets rolling, especially at this course, when he starts getting hot. It's so fun to see what he can do.
Who's your other guy?
Well, the other guy I was curious about was going to be DeChambeau. I don't think anybody expects much of him. He's been injured. There's been so much, and I say him knowing that he's injured and has not played a lot of golf and hasn't played good golf when he has played. But it's one of those years where there's not a lot of fanfare for him coming in because of the injuries. So it'll be curious to see how he does. I saw him say something about how he's playing against doctor's orders, which – I don't know.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
There's actually two thoughts I have on Bryson. Number one, it's funny how you talked about other golfers recognizing they can play Augusta with their own strength and still succeed there. But when Bryson openly publicized that was his plan, he was kind of beat up over it. And obviously it didn't work out for him. And he admitted that. He's like, hey, I tried something. It didn't work. I don't know if you guys noticed, I tried that at the US Open as well, and it worked pretty friggin' well. So why not try it here? But I like the idea that, number one, you said the expectations are pretty low based on the fact that he's chasing injury. But here's the other side of it. If Bryson can't swing to an obscene speed and he's having to stay within himself, I mean, I've tried to swing at 120% of my swing. And what I mean by that is overswinging. So like my version of 100% is me hitting it hard. My version of 120 is like me reminding myself I'm not physically fit enough to do that version of my swing. So if he can rein it into like 90% all the time, he's got oodles of power, right?
Yeah.
So if he actually plays a control game around Augusta, I mean, there's an opportunity there. And I know his wedges are his weak point, but we're talking about drawing them back a bit, which means it's going to be irons into greens. And all we have to figure out there is putting. And when he puts well, he puts well. It's horrible to look at, but he puts well, you know?
So definitely those are the two guys. Maybe I shouldn't have phrased it as in not going to have solid weeks, but those are two guys that I'm very interested to watch play. I'm not picking them to do anything spectacular. But those are two guys that just, I want to see how it develops for them. I really do.
Well, those are two of the guys who you expect to either kill the cut or get beat up by the cut, right? Like that's kind of the likelihood of them coasting through. And I want to put one other name out, because I always do. My guy, Tony Finau. Every year he gets there, with the exception of they made me watch that damn replay of him running up the par three again today. And it just hurts my soul.
Just pop that ankle back in. Yeah, no big
please
deal.
Stop. I looked away. I could not watch. I want to see him win a Masters. I love the guy. Love following him. I would love to see him win a Masters. So
I think it'd be a big win for him. Obviously, it's a big win, but I think it'd be a big win for golf if Tony Finau gets it. I think he really has a way of generating some fans. So it would be cool to see Tony Finau slip on that green jacket.
So here's what's going to happen, right? Everything we said is wrong. And a guy we didn't think about or even mention.
Taylor Gooch is your Masters champion.
Yeah. It's just the way it goes. I mean, Kisner winning would be pretty entertaining, but you know, I'd love to be at that champion's dinner. So I'm excited to watch. It's fun to get you on here and talk about it. I love your passion for tour golf. You know, it's always come through really nicely in the THP community. So I appreciate you for taking the time. Do you have anything for me this week, Dean, before we close it out?
No, I think you just answered mine. I was actually curious to see if you were kind of aligned with me on picking out two guys from the Masters. I don't want to say we're going to have bad weeks, but we're going to have interesting weeks. You were there with me. So I guess I'll go with this. You know, we talked about a couple of new things in my bag for my last round. What's the newest thing in your bag?
The newest thing is that shaft we already talked about. So that's kind of cheaty.
That's cheaty. Outside of that.
Yeah. So I've got the UST Mamiya, the new M40X, the Link, which is pretty wild. I'm hitting it pretty low, which is uncommon for me. You don't seem to have that issue. But I'm working through some driver stuff right now, and I've actually got a couple heads I'm battling at the top of the bag. So it's a really exciting process. But I'm trying to think, because there was there was something I wanted to dive back into. I hit the C722 irons in the tech studio last week. Mm-hmm. And I had the C721 and a 3-iron in the bag. And I was like, this is kind of money. So yeah, I think I need to get my hands on a C722 3-iron to see if it can up the ante. I'm looking ahead, Dean. I'm not looking at right now. You know what I mean?
Well, you can always look at their utility too.
Yeah. No, don't be silly. No,
I don't, okay.
Right. I'm an iron guy.
Well, I mean, I know you use those instead of driver because yeah. You know, you're worried about the big stick there. So, throwing it out there for you, friend.
We don't talk about the big stick. It's it's a challenge. But I hit a couple of absolute bombs right now. I'm ready to sign on the dotted line, dance the devil a little bit. Let's get this driver sorted out. And if that really means I have to go to the range and work on it, fine. I get it. I'll do it.
Who wants to dig it out of the dirt? Come on. That's old school.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. The bag is in construction. I'm having a lot of fun with the new lineup from Mizuno over there. Fly High is pretty wild. 221s are stressing me out a little bit, but the 225s are absolutely nuts. They're absolutely crazy to hit. That 5-iron is just monstrous. It's insane. So yeah, I'm having a blast with those, but, I don't know. The season is young.
Yeah. I, you know what? It's here. That it's young, but it's here.
Yeah.
The season is here. The Masters is here. Life, like I said to you, when we originally started this, life is good.
Yeah. Well, my friend, I hope you enjoy it this weekend. I'll be bugging you. If you folks are looking for a place to talk about the Masters, we will be super active on the THP community forums, talking about everything that happens, including every shot, which you can pretty much watch on the Masters app. So give us a shout out over there, or let us know on the socials who you're chasing this week, who you want to win, and who you do not want to win, which is apparently the other side of it. So Dean, thanks, man. I hope you have a blast. And yeah, if anyone's playing golf this weekend, have fun or watch the Masters. Do whatever you want. Let me know about it. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.